Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about finding deep meaning of Resurrection Day by focusing on a resurrection awakening in our city.
You know, there's a biblical concept that relates to awakening, and it's because God is the one that awakens a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not something we can do. We get to be involved in that process, but...
And we respond.
Yes, but it's a supernatural act mm-hmm. that God does. And you see it all the way through the scriptures. It's, God is opening the eyes of the blind, and mm-hmm. God is healing the lame. And, you know, it's God's work where he is doing something supernatural. So when we're talking about a resurrection awakening in our city, we're really talking about a supernatural thing that, well, it's something that, you know, maybe over the next 24 hours, and as we go into the Resurrection Day celebration for
right.
us and for our
the
family,
whole weekend.
Let's just pray for the people around us. True awakening is supernatural, and I want to kind of develop that idea a little bit out of Acts chapter 2. Now, this is in the wake of what we were talking about yesterday with the day of Pentecost. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And Peter, here he is again, Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, turn, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That's
mm-hmm.
like us.
Next generation.
Yeah, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this crooked and deceived generation.
I love how that starts out. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. I have sort of a love-hate relationship with that, with that phrase, because kind of in my own plain language, how I maybe would say that is that somewhere there had to be severe mercy involved.
Yes.
It was severe, it was painful, but then there was relief, there was mercy. Kind of like when you feel like it hurts so good. Like, you know, when you're pierced to the heart, sometimes it's a little painful, but then when light shows there and when it's cleaned up, it feels really good.
Well, and when Peter uses the word repent, that's an interesting word that's kind of caricatured in our culture. And the idea of repenting is to turn away from something that's wrong and then that's not good. But it also
right.
means that you turn
right.
toward something, or in this case, towards someone. And that was the nature of the resurrection. And it's the nature of awakened, resurrected life. It's not enough to become religious and just decide that you're going to change your behavior. You're turning toward someone. You are turning toward the king not only of your life and of the world, but the king of the universe.
And if we can help people recognize and encourage them that they're turning away from hopelessness to the one who offers hope.
Yes. So when we pray for our city, that's one of the things that we can pray for mm-hmm. is the supernatural idea that God would be at work, and basically kind of to implore God to...
beg him, you know, on our knees.
Yes.
Yes.
And God, please, please open the windows of heaven and do your supernatural work, because true awakening is supernatural. There are some things, I think, with that we're supposed to be boldly praying for. So that's one thing. Pray for the supernatural component. But I love this. It's out of Matthew chapter 9, and it talks about harvest workers.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the people, this is Jesus, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, implore the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.
I find this really interesting and moving, because the verse before says he healed their diseased bodies, he healed their bruised and hurt lives, and when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So for us to be harvest workers, it seems that our hearts need to be as full of compassion. And when my heart is like that, then it's easy for me to implore God. It's easy for me to fall on my knees and say, God, bring your light to our city.
Well, and this is a real contrast to just being a Christian worker.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about being a harvest worker here. And I think what you described is true of a harvest worker. We are in touch with God. We're in touch with people that we care about that are around us. And our heart breaks for the people around us. And that drives us to harvest prayer.
And this is kind of what we're asking you to join us with this weekend. You know, this is Good Friday. And if you would join us for the weekend and just consider praying with us all weekend and ask God to remind you to pray. And when he reminds you, take a moment to do it. But even on top of that, ask him what he's wanting you to pray about, because you know there are so many things, and somehow when you pray you feel like you have to cover all the bases.
Yeah,
and
don't.
I really believe that, you know, he's given you, Dave, something that he puts on your heart to pray. And when I pray, it sounds really different than when you pray. And I think
and
that
vice versa.
I think he does that with everyone. He just pours it in our hearts what he wants us to talk to him about.
So would you join us in boldly praying for our city, for awakening, praying for harvest workers? And here's the second thing. This is out of 1 Peter 1. Praying for hope, especially for those in our city who are uneasy, mm-hmm. contemplating souls. We'll return to that, but let me read the verse here out of 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
I really believe when we talk about uneasy, contemplating souls, you know, praying for hope for them, when I remember my unease and my contemplation, it gives me compassion for people who are right there. And sometimes you don't see their unease. Sometimes you don't see what's causing them or what they're contemplating.
Yes.
Because it comes out sometimes in bitterness. It comes out in vitriol. You know, they look like they're disinterested. But if you can look at the heart, or, you know, ask God to show you the heart, that's what, you know, that's exactly what we're supposed to have compassion for.
So praying together for an awakening in our city over this weekend coming up, this mm-hmm. resurrection weekend, harvest workers praying for hope for those who are uneasy contemplating souls. The third thing is clarity. And this mm-hmm. comes out of Luke 4. And this is one of the most crystal clear passages that I can think of, because Jesus is just launching his public ministry in his hometown in Luke chapter 4. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read, and the book of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. And he opened the book, and he found the place where it is written. So here he quotes Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And this part just sends shivers up my spine.
Mm-hmm.
He closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
yeah.
he is the awakening God. He is the one who not just comes in and preaches the message of light, he brings light
right
into lives.
I love that. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, because it doesn't mean that they were all delighted with him.
No.
But everyone was silenced because he was the king.
Yeah.
Amazing. I also love just the idea that there needs to be clarity for those who aren't hearing yet, and just for the simplicity of the gospel to reach them. You know, and it's, for me, it's the anticipation of seeing what God's going to do. It's far, and it's far-reaching effects.
Well, I wrote who would be detoured,
mm-hmm.
detoured from hearing. And,
yeah.
you know, that's the whole spiritual battle that's going on. So to pray and engage that for clarity in the midst of that challenge. I'll close this segment with Matthew 5. And not only can we be praying for harvest workers and hope and clarity, But I'd like to add this, courage and sensitivity for bold, bright lights. Now, I add those two words, courage and sensitivity for bold, bright lights to be empowered to tell the resurrection story in our city. This is from Jesus' words himself. You are the light of the world. Courage. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Courage. But you put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Courage. Let your light shine before men in such a way, sensitivity, that they see your good works, sensitivity, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I mean, that just stirs my heart when I think about, being a bold, bright light. And I had a lot of things to learn about that. It was one thing to be bold. It was another thing to shine with God's light. And it was certainly another to become courageous and also to be sensitive to the hearers that were hearing the message from me.
And those are some specific things to pray about. And then I just encourage us to remember that the prayer of a faithful person is really, really effective. It's just easy to underestimate what prayer can do. We tend to think that we need to do something, and the prayer of a righteous person is super effective.
So let me recap just a little bit. We are praying for a resurrection awakening in our city. True awakening is supernatural. We are praying boldly for harvest workers, sensitive harvest workers. We are praying in hope for those in our city who are uneasy, contemplating souls, the ones who are ruminating.
Praying for clarity.
Yep. For those who would be detoured from hearing. And also, we are praying for courage and sensitivity for bold, bright lights to be empowered.
And then just, we're asking you to join us and can just determine to do that this weekend. Ask God to remind you to pray and ask him, what am I supposed to pray? What part of this am I supposed to do?
Well, many will visit churches this Easter / Passover time, and many neighbors will be able to tell the true story of Easter. And that's what we've been talking about all week, is the true story of Easter, which is Resurrection Day. And so for us to join together, all of us who are listening and have been listening, and all of our friends and our family, and join together to boldly pray for God to open doors to release captives. I mean, what greater gift can we give? I mean, go ahead and put your nice clothes on. And if you want to do the little bunny egg thing, that's fine. You know, I'm not anti-bunny. But I do believe that there's a power that's in the resurrection that we bring because we are the light of the world.
And we want to pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you, and pray that we'll be rescued from those who are trying to do us in, and that's in 2 Thessalonians. Just the reminder that we're asking God to cause a tidal wave, a groundswell, in our city.
Well said, Bernadette. Hey, you know, we've got a couple of minutes here. We've been doing the show for a number of weeks now, and how are you feeling about it?
Well, I like it. It still makes me a little nervous. That might be a little unguarded.
It's all right.
You're a much more on your feet, quick thinker.
I'm a yakker.
And yes, you're a good yakker. You know, I can yak with the best of them when I'm, with friends. When I could just repeat myself, and they're very forgiving.
True.
I hope you're forgiving also as you listen to us.
Well, I appreciate being able to do this with you because, we have been on this journey of life together for a long time. You know, we have had our ups and downs, and we have forged a relationship in Christ together. It hasn't been a perfect, situation as far as our marriage has been concerned. But through it all, God has carried us just like he is carrying everyone.
Well, and this has just been good for me. I tell you, I'm just moved by them. You know, day after day they happen. I just am reminded of what Scripture does, that it is alive.
If you'd like to listen to today's programming in its entirety, go to 4thStream.com and click on that radio button.
Together we are finding hope at 4thStream.com.